Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, it's Friday. Finally, we made it to the end of the week. Also, the first Friday of summer. So between the fact that the markets are up again, I'm in a pretty good mood this morning, I gotta say. Story of the day, theme of the day is going to be a lot of earnings. And the question we are asking is, how will we know? How do we know when the market has bottomed? Hopefully, our guest, Cameron Dawson, can help answer that question. But we had a very mixed bag of earnings overnight. We got some good earnings. We got some bad earnings. We got some earnings, middle of the ground. So strap in, buckle those seatbelts, smash that like button. Pre-market prep starts right now.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Conan.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Let's bring on Joel and Dennis, and I'm going to ask Joel for the third time today to share his charts with us kindly. There they are. Dennis is looking down on his phone, but we're back. Yeah. We're on. Good morning. Good morning. How's everyone doing today?
Doing well. 35-point range overnight. We're up three handles, 58.75. Crude down 68, 113.41. Gold trying to clear that resistance at the 1870 area. That's up 860, 1862.5. Silver up 38.5 cents, 22.35. Bitcoin, that's sinking. That's down $600, 28.785. And Ethereum continues to just wither away, down $60 at 1763.
I'm so glad I sold that Ethereum.
Joel, why is your AMC, the bottom right chart is stuck on AMC for some reason?
Because that's the
because
only
Ethereum and AMC are the same thing.
I don't think
someone got caught.
Because I had to do a linkage.
Got caught.
And yeah,
he was looking at AMC for the apes out
that's
there.
What apes love the AMC. Hey, so yeah, I got tired. The apes, they're eating their bananas here again. Those apes, because we got GME going bananas. AMC not as much, but GME, holy mac, I guess. Oh, but I forgot. GME isn't in the apes. The apes are only in AMC, right? Doesn't GME have their own thing?
I'm not up on my.
I'm not either. I call them all apes, but they're gonna be mad about that.
They're always gonna be mad.
I don't think the GameStoppers are apes.
Stock goes up, they're mad.
Chat. What do you call the GameStoppers? The AMC guys are apes. Guys and girls are apes. What are the GameStoppers? Are they apes too?
I don't know. I'll be honest. I really don't know.
Well, we're asking. Chad always knows. Or Chad's smart.
Chad always knows. All right. Well, let's talk about overall market here for a second, and then we'll go to the individual stocks. Because as Joel just said, enlightened us, we are higher. Not in crypto, not in crude, but we're higher in the major stock index futures this morning. I guess the Russell's flat, but the NASDAQ is looking up. The S&Ps are looking up. And we're going to close green for the week here. Thoughts on yesterday's...
Way to jinx us now. Now we'll have a 2,000-point sell-off,
right?
So, all thanks to Spencer.
Right. So thoughts on yesterday's rally and where that leaves us heading into today, which should most likely be a lower volume day.
I don't even know what to say on this market. It is a tricky market to trade. So just when you think that it can't go lower, it doesn't go lower and turns around and starts going higher. So I have no idea. This is just the weirdest market to trade. So obviously still fading moves is working, but I mean, the GameStop, I just want to take it back to that. Like, you can tell when retail starts to feel comfortable again and they start buying the stock. And there is definitely a correlation with GameStop moves and the market as well. It's not its own animal. Like, as the market and retail gets really hammered, they're not buying GameStop. But they came in the last 2 days. They took GameStop up 50% in 2 days. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the S&P had a great 2 days as well here, Joel. So, I mean, it really, you know, retail, whether, you know, obviously people, you know, a lot of people think they don't know what they're doing. There's a lot of smart traders in retail as well. It's 26%, I believe, of the market volume here now. I'm not sure. That was a stat from last year. I'm not sure if it's right on the money. But, you know, it's significant. It used to be 12 years ago. So retail is a big influence on this market now. And I think when you see stocks like GME starting to pop off again, it makes you think, well, you know, I'm scared to be short anything.
You had 7 down weeks in a row in the S&P. I believe it was 8 in the Dow. So you can't keep going down every week, right? There has to be, you know, if everyone's considering this a bear market rally. You had a nice setup, you know, earlier in the week. You tested under 3,900 again. You know, good day on Monday. Gave back some on Tuesday. That, you know, 3,900 was defended. It's a rally. I mean, like I said, I don't pay a huge attention to volume, but I, you know, it's a lot less than it was when they were selling. So the big money's either just lightening up and there's nothing out there they want to buy, and getting a little bit of a rally here. So
it's such a hard market to figure out, like, day to day. And everybody thinks, oh, it's just been so easy on the shorts and I'm going to start shorting stocks. And there's little violent pops, though, and this is typical of a bear market. You have, you know, the escalator down and the elevator up. It's the exact same opposite as it is in 2020 when you're in a bull market. You have wicked little bounces because people are shorting stocks and they're getting their head ripped off. And there has been some absolutely wicked bounces in this market. And really, in the last 3 days, it was a pretty wicked bounce, too. I mean, we got there 386, Joel, on Wednesday, and it looked like we were going to retest the lows. And then, boom, we're up 200 points on the S&P in less than 2.5 days. Not even with, like, a major catalyst, though. Like, it wasn't like, oh, this was the driver. You know, we did have some earnings report. We did have some Powell speak. But for the most part, it's just was, you know, you could call it a dead cat bounce, but maybe it was just seller exhaustion.
Yeah.
Like, we've been hammering stocks. I've been hitting stocks and hitting stocks pretty much for 6 weeks straight. And what we've been saying is a lot of stocks are oversold, but it's hard to be a buyer when stocks are making new lows. So, you know, it did work in the last 3 days if you were buying stocks. You know, even Snapchat, after the disappointing report, has bounced back. We've definitely seen a buy the dip mentality come back into this market in the last few days. Some of these earnings stocks were really hit hard. And there's like the Snapchats, but there's other ones that were coming back here too. I mean, we talked about the Dick's Sporting Goods. It was down $10 on the report, and it closed up $10, and then it continues to tack on. The Dollar Tree and Dollar General are nothing short of miracles for people who were long those stocks. I mean, you know, boom, they fall 30% basically in about a month, and they get it all back pretty much in one day. So it's definitely a mixed bag in retail. And, you know, even if you're looking back, just even looking here at, you know, Big Lots this morning, I mean, it tells you how mixed of a bag it is in retail, because they got Big Lots down 18%. So it's like random stocks, random walk for every retail stock. And that's an interesting market.
And I've seen some speculation out there. I think Goldman Sachs had a note out yesterday speculating on some end of the month systematic pension fund type of flows, and that plus the incremental buyback demand for via buybacks, and that could provide a demand floor for the market. But
those are more media stories, though, to be honest with you. Like, the Russell rebalances something, but when you're just talking, you know, okay, well, we're going to chalk this up to end of the month pension buying. Yeah. I mean, it's a media, like, looking for an excuse. And, you know, we know this. You know, the reporters call me and you try to talk to them technically or something. They don't want that. They're like, well, that has to be a fundamental driver, because they can't write in an article about, you know, oh yeah, we had a technical bounce off of this. You know, they can't write any of that stuff. Well, nobody wants to hear about a chart. They want to hear something concrete. So sometimes, you know, we'll just chalk it up. Oh, it's the end of the month. It must be, you know, pension.
Hey, Goldman said that. Okay.
So, I'm not saying, I don't think Goldman knows everything either, though. You have a bazillion, there's a lot of different analysts at Goldman, and, you know, and it's one thing. And, you know, there's definitely something. The Russell rebound's coming. Don't kid yourself. Those they do move stocks, but to chalk up every, you know, just pension buying or stuff like that, I don't give that any weight at all.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's just a thing that's out there. And
I just, you know, Dennis, you talked about Wednesday, but it was Monday we had a good day to start the week, and then Tuesday we got snapped, right?
Yes,
and they took the market down.
I like that.
On one stock, you know, that no one really cares about, right? And then after that, you know, I mean, to whack Google like they did on that, to whack
it was overdone.
Facebook, yeah. I mean, yes, there's, you know, these companies are related. They do have, you know, the same modes, but it, you know, it's such a, they're such bigger companies. And then the market got kind of smart yesterday because they, you know, they're okay, we're going to whack Nvidia, right? And what are they, you know, and then that ended up having a big reversal. And Nvidia is a big component of the S&P 500 index. You know, Tesla.
And they bought that dip hard.
They bought that dip hard. Is Tesla related to Snapchat? You know, does Tesla, you know, need to go down like it did? Oh, and how about Apple? Because Bloomberg says that they're, you know, lowering production or something. You're going to, you know, when the S&P is, you know, up 30, 40 points, you're going to have Apple down 2 or 3 points. Well, it can happen, but they came in there. They bought it $7 off the morning low from yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Part of that Nvidia pop may have been Kathy Wood because she was buying yesterday. So
I give her no weight now.
I'm joking. Zero. I'm joking. Give me.
But people will think that. And right. I give that no weight now, like zero. That gets negative weight.
All right.
So nobody's looking at what she's buying. Everybody's unsubscribed to her letter. I mean, she's become, you know, what Mark Chaykin said 6 months ago, she's becoming irrelevant. She's become irrelevant.
This is my own fault. Okay. All right.
So, I mean, But take it back to Apple. Apple was a good reversal, Joel. What Joel was just saying was absolutely correct. They came in yesterday buying the dip. And even taking it back to Snapchat conversation, we talked about that. Because the market came up with this whole premise that online advertising is dead.
It's dead.
Because Snapchat, you know, was showing, you know, slowing growth here. But we know, to Spencer Israel's point on the show that morning, if Snapchat wasn't getting hit from, you know, from the consumer, you know, not sort of from the advertiser not spending as much, they're getting hit because advertisers are spending on TikTok. I mean, that's where they got TikTok. You know, that's the bottom line, is Snapchat got TikTok. Google's not getting TikTok. So, I mean, that was a ridiculous sell-off in Google. That was a ridiculous sell-off in the overall market just because of Snapchat. Because I think the writing is on the wall for Snapchat. I don't think people are using the app as much. And TikTok has come for their lunch. So there's still that hope here. And I think investors are seeing that now, that maybe Snapchat was just a one-off. And maybe Google, you know, isn't going to have, and Facebook isn't going to have the disappointment that Snapchat did. I mean, Facebook's earnings were a month before and they were fine. So I think online advertising is still happening. I think, you know, we're still got a lot of issues. But to just think online advertising is dead, and you saw people saying that, that was an overshoot to the downside on the Snapchat earnings.
Yeah, and just one final note, too, with the way the market got Target and Walmarted, right? The consumer, like, the recession is here. Like, it's like everyone stopped shopping at every single store because of the Walmart and Target earnings. I mean, that was, you know, people are still shopping. Yeah, you know, yeah, we got high inflation. Interest rates are going up. We're probably having a recession. Don't know about the depression. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just the extreme overreaction to a couple of earnings reports, and they were late in earnings season. So, that's it.
Let's go to some of those retail reports that we got just overnight here. And we already mentioned one of them. There were two big disasters today. There's Big Lots and The Gap. And the reports are, more or less say the same thing. Okay. We'll do them together here.
Okay.
The Big Lots EPS, they lost 39 cents per share last quarter. In the same quarter a year ago, they made $2.62 a share. So from a $2.62 earnings per share gain to a 39 cent earnings per share loss on a year-over-year basis. So big miss there. The Gap, they lost money. The Gap said they're same story as Who said it? Kohl's, right? And Target, the inventory, they have too much stuff in their stores. They can't get through it. Big Lots basically said the same thing. They both said the same thing. Too much inventory, not enough sales.
And those stocks both going down, but we've seen some of these retail stocks rallying. So it's a mixed bag again in retail. I think it's not just everything. It's just been a mixed bag. So, I mean, the Gap, we're really expecting much from the Gap. Well, honestly,
the problem with the Gap is they have that Athleta.
The problem with the Gap is the Gap.
Well, but the Gap has Athleta, which is like this hugely successful brand. But then they have like Old Navy that is not right. So, yeah, I don't know. It's like they have a diamond buried in there, but there's a whole bunch of crap around it.
Yeah. I mean, the Gap has been a dog for a decade. I mean, let's really take this stock chart back, Joel. I mean, where did the Gap top out here?
Oh, like if we go back to the Gap.
Yeah, we're going to GPS first.
Yeah, GPS.
I mean, this stock was, what, $60, $70 a decade ago? It's $9 now. So you put your money in there 10 years ago, lose 90%. Maybe I'm wrong. It was 45. Was that the high or was it even higher before that? I see the 45, 46.
The all-time high was the dot-com bubble.
Dennis. The Gap was back. That made the all-time high back then?
$53.
$53? So yeah, it's $9 now. So 20 years of investing in the Gap, you've lost 80% of your money. That's telling you there's better places for your money. You're bottom fishing in this one. I don't know if it's a zero, but I don't see the path where they're turning this whole thing around. This is your next big retailer. I just think you've got better places for your money.
Under $10 now. I'm trying to think.
People look at that dividend, Joel. They're going to look at the dividend and say it's 6% now. Oh my God. I don't know. Is that safe? Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But the value investors will look at this and say, and that's why I'm looking at my thing. I didn't even know it had a 6% yield, but I'm looking at it right now. It says 6.66%. That's kind of scary. Is that like a regular dividend? I didn't even know it had that kind of dividend yield.
I think it's fair to speculate on the safety of that dividend, frankly.
I think so too.
So, and they don't think they said anything about the dividend, but it's fair to speculate on when an earnings report is as bad as that. I mean, they guided for revenue to fall on a year over year basis. Okay.
Yeah. You don't want to see that.
And so dividends are not.
It's one thing for revenue to decline. It's another thing for it to fall. And then you look at it here and they see earnings 30 to 60 cents versus $1.34. And you're like, okay, can they pay that dividend? How much is the dividend? You know, that's probably more than 30 to 60 cents. I'm just trying to figure it out here right now.
Wow, down dividend, $2. They should get off of Gap.
The dividend's 60 cents. So if they're making 30 to 60, they would have to put it all out, the 100% of it. I don't know. The dividend doesn't look safe at all.
Someone's hanging out at $9. $9.33 was your June 2020 low. And then if you want to go lower than that, I mean, $6.54 was your April 2020 low. I'll go out on a limb and say that you don't see that $6.54 today. Someone's just bringing some stock in at $9. And out of ones that have like wicked rallies back, with that looming dividend news, I don't know if this is going to be the one that all of a sudden, hey, I'm back. We're a scratch on this one because this is good volumes already traded, over 1 million shares. I think this is not a great candidate for just a snapback rally.
This isn't NVIDIA. We'll just say that. This is not NVIDIA.
And let's also throw American Eagle in this category as well, because it's more or less the same story here. But let's move on.
Wait, I just want to say Big Lots, if you felt like you missed the low of the move, it was $24.87. Right, you did get lower than that. It's just hanging out here. So that's the low of the move, $24.87. Your next month. Low, you don't want to know if you're long. 23.27, I think.
If you wanted to try it, that's your bounce area. I mean, you have it, it's right there. Obviously, you know, if it started cutting down and making new lows in the regular session, then you got to get the hell out of it. But Let's see if it can bounce there. Out of all these three, I would not be buying the dip in Gap. I would not be buying the dip in American Eagle, I don't think. Although I didn't look at the American Eagle report at all. So I definitely wouldn't buy the Gap. I shouldn't comment on American Eagle because I didn't really
it's the same as the other two.
Not good.
Yeah, it's small.
Big Lots, I'd be more inclined to buy the dip, but I don't think I want to own any of these things. None of these are best in breed, I'll tell you that much. And I haven't liked Big Lots, like I said before, since they cleaned up the stores. Better when they were trashy.
I know. We know you like that.
1161. That's your low of the move so far in American Eagle Outfitters. That's right here. And actually, you got a potential area of support because you had two lows between 1161 and 1202. So that just tells me someone was targeting the $12 area. So you're at 1222, down $1.80, 105,000 shares.
Retail is just clearly a story of the haves and have nots. Like you can look at Ulta Beauty today, which is, you know, an entirely different business. It's not clothes, it's makeup, and they blew it away. Their EPS, they crushed the estimate last night. Okay, estimate for their EPS was at $4.46. They said, nah, we're going to report $6.30 wow. earnings per share. Sales came in higher. They raised their guidance for the year. Everything above the estimates. It was just a blowout report for Ulta compared to the estimates last night. And you know, you can scoff all you want about whether moves are justified. But we, frankly, estimates exist, so we have something to measure these reports against.
Yeah,
and it's sort of unfair, but that's the way it is. And in this case, Ulta came in above theirs, and that's why the stock is higher.
This makes common sense. Again, I'm going to say there's been so much common sense in this market in 2022. The market that traded on zero common sense in 2020 trades, it feels like, only on common sense in 2022. And it doesn't price in anything. And if you just think about it, why would Ulta Beauty, why would that do better? Well, maybe because people are going back to work. Maybe it's because people are getting out there again. We're all cooped up. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I'm going back to work. Ulta Beauty benefits from that. This is a reopening stock.
I don't know if that's as obvious to me. I don't know. I get what you're saying, but I didn't say that yesterday.
I didn't say yesterday because I didn't even think about Ulta Beauty. But looking in hindsight, it's like, why didn't we think of that?
I don't know.
Why didn't we think that this is the kind of company that actually people are going back? You know, and I don't know. Maybe they care what they look like.
All the ladies in the chat help us out on this because it doesn't seem. Well, I don't know. Maybe Dennis is right, but whatever.
That's my thought process. Okay. So maybe I'm wrong, but it kind of makes intuitive sense to me that they actually did well because we know travel really picked it up last quarter. And you know, you got makeup, hair care, skin care. People, you know, all of a sudden they're not working from home. It's like, well, I've got to go back to the. I'm going to go back to my Ulta Beauty. Maybe they took off from there for a year. Now all of a sudden it's like, well, I'm going back.
Big old pop, man. 4:30. This thing was at 3:30 3 days ago, and now it hit 4:30 right on the kisser. If I had this, I probably would have been selling at 400.
Oh yeah, I would have too.
I see a couple tops there. I see two daily tops, and I see another one just above that. So still at 407.49. I mean, that's good. 404 was a daily high. If investors that are long bought the dip, if they're not willing to let it go at 4.410, then wait for the pre-market high. But that's a big move up on 14,000 shares.
I traded a little more last night. Okay. But, and to the point here, it's like, okay, we should have thought of that before the report, but am I buying it up after? I'm not chasing something up 30 bucks in a bear market. And especially not chasing it up $60 or $50, which was up last night in a bear market. So I think you're in the register. I think if you were smart enough to own this thing before, congratulations, you had a good trade. 2 days ago, this thing was $330, goes up 100 points in 3 days. When you're in a bear market and your stock jumps 25% in 3 days, what do?
Take it.
You sell it.
Yeah. That's it.
Because the bear market didn't go away, folks.
Well, how's Elf doing? Is Elf getting a pop off this?
Well, Elf already reported, and it was wasn't it last night? Two nights ago.
Well, Elf popped 2 days ago.
Elf was telling you what to do.
Look at the wicked report. Was it Elf? Elf already reported, and they were good too. That's why it popped.
Yeah.
So we're so dumb we didn't even look at that.
We're so dumb.
Well, okay. What about
what else is there? I can't Estee even believe Lauder? I can't even. Oh, yeah. Estee Lauder. Let's go. Let's go with the. Ooh.
And now the bar is hot. Estee Lauder reported too, and they beat too. Man, we just didn't read the reports.
What are we doing on this show?
How do they gap EL down on that? Oh, because they guided down.
EL was three.
EL had a good report, but then they guided down.
They did. They, yeah, well, they, yeah, the, yeah,
there was
the
gap down.
Their earnings were good, but the guidance was light.
Oh, there throws a hole.
All right. There would, and I'm sure I've said this 100 times before, but in the S&P 500 pit, there was a lady named Estee Lauder. I never talked to her.
Was it her?
It might be a descendant, I think.
Was it her?
I had to say it.
I don't know. I think her, guess what her badge was?
EL.
I think it was. Was it or was it ESTE? I can't remember.
Okay, moving on. What about Costco here? This is the when I referred to the earnings at the top of the show, I said there's good, there's bad, and there's
this is the important one.
Costco's meh. It's flat this morning. I mean, here's the bottom line: this company reports double digit sales growth. Like a clock, basically. Every single quarter, they report double-digit sales growth. Same story yesterday. The earnings beat by a penny. EPS sales came in a little bit higher as well. It's just a well-oiled machine. They definitely did not blow it away, but it's Costco. They keep moving. They just keep trucking. Comp sales were up 16% on a year-over-year basis in the U.S. It's just they can't.
Yeah. Walmart, Target, this thing gets killed without. We were talking with Costco. They knocked 200 points off the price of Costco, and Costco didn't even say anything.
Yeah.
Now they come out, and the earnings were fine. So the stock actually is going down a little bit on it, but because we just rallied $60 in the last 5 days. So, you know, I think they probably come in and buy the dip on Costco. I think they already tried to do it to a certain extent last night. I don't know if this is rip-roaring and going to rip your face off to 500 or anything, but and a lot of people are sitting on the sidelines. Stephanie Link said it last night, too. I mean, she's like, she'd love it to come down more to pick it up at a lower PE. I would love it to come down more to pick it up at a lower PE, too, because this company is awesome. This company is not going away. It's still trading with a PE of like 26 or 27, I think, though, last time I checked. So I'd love it down at 20. I don't think you're going to ever get Costco down that low, though. So at a certain point in time, money managers will come in to buy this stock. They already did the last 5-6 days. The earnings were fine. I think dips start to get bought in Costco. Again, I don't own it. I'd love it, you know, to come down like 350, 400. I put it in the long-term portfolio because it's just a fantastic company. My wife has wanted it in her portfolio forever because she goes to Costco. She's like, buy me Costco. I was like, I can't pay 40 times earnings. And I'm like, it's been the call, though.
You can, though.
You should have in 2020.
Just have to want to.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that, man, it didn't even come close to filling the gap here. Really, I thought maybe they get a little crazy and take it up to 480. So your short-term target right now is 469. That's 12 bucks up because that's your pre-market high. And then a gap fill would be at 480.23. Coming down, man, you're down in yesterday's. This is a tough one. I wish, well, and you're not going to see the pre-market low either, though I've said that before and they've really tagged it. I mean, if you could get it at the top of yesterday's range, being a cheapie on a short-term trade, 440, the top of yesterday's range, was it yesterday? No, the top of the fill the gap is 443.26.
Okay, I think we can move away from retail now. There's a couple more I want to get to, and then we'll bring on our guest. Software stocks.
Workday.
Is there any SaaS company that isn't lowering the bar for themselves or putting cautious statements out there? I can't think of one. I think they're all trying to project this air of caution, and for good reason, because Workday, I mean, last night, their report was – I mean, it was okay. Their EPS missed by a whopping 3 cents, which isn't a big deal. 83 cents versus 86 cents. Sales were in line. But the sentiment in the whole SaaS space is negative right now. And thank you, Beans and Rice, for me. So Salesforce, which is the king of SaaS, reports on Tuesday. But I can't think of a software stock that is projecting an air of confidence right now. I really can't.
I think this dip gets bought in Workday. Same as it's not as loved as NVIDIA, but it's still a pretty loved name. Down 8%. Money managers a look. Okay, I think I might have missed the bottom. This is the thought process. This is literally what happens out there. Money managers that have too much cash, me being one of them for my own investment portfolio, look at something like this and think, well, maybe I did. Maybe we did bottom. And no, I'm not of that same opinion that I think we bottomed, but there's a potential that we did 5 days ago. So if you're sitting with too much cash, you're like, okay, well, I need to put something to work. Am I putting it in the Gap? No. Am I putting it in American Eagle? No. Am I putting it on a Workday? Yep. This is the same reason they bought NVIDIA yesterday. They might buy Workday on this dip. So I'd be inclined actually to buy the dip on Workday.
You're too much. Pre-market low, 152. You're 2.5. But what happened? We got a number. We just popped. Well, we get PCE. We got a number.
Did we?
Shoot. We just had a 10-point pop.
Yeah. Oh my gosh!
You call me,
and they come right back down.
No. What did we? Did we even get a number?
Honestly? I think we did because it ticked 8:30. Someone was talking about a PCE number or something.
Oh, personal income down or up 0.4%. Was supposed to be up 0.5%.
Oh, give me a break.
What the hell does that mean, anyways?
Come on. Okay.
Right. PCE price index up 0.3%.
All right. Moving on.
Oh, guys are pulling the rug out from under it.
When I said that, y'all should have went. Y'all should have went. Lilith Pop. You guys should have went. Sell. Sell.
Give me a break.
Sell. Look at right. that.
Sell, woo. Sell the rips. Buy the
There's
dips.
Sellers the game, out there. The game yeah. hasn't changed.
All right.
At Workday. Good commercials that Spencer didn't know about.
Workday. What are they? Workday. You're on mute. It's like Joel. Yeah, you're on Spencer mute.
Yeah.
Get Workday.
Yeah, Joel, I haven't seen those because I've lived those. Okay. I don't need to.
We do love those. Joel, you're on mute.
I've lived those.
Workday.
What someone said, are you guys okay? No, if you tune into the show every Never. Day, you know this is the way it is.
Never okay.
I can't. I mean, 152. I'd say, well, I wanted to say there was a monthly low at 150, but I'd be lying. So that's 144.81. So I don't know. Kind of close to the pre-market low, 152. 150 is just kind of popping out a number to me. You know, like, wow, if this was at 300, that's almost a 2-for-1 stock split. See what happens at 150. Maybe you can find some daily lows or weekly lows in that area.
All right, last one, and then we'll bring on our guest. Did you guys see Dell? This one surprised me, honestly, because Dell, the earnings per share beat, sales beat, and they didn't.
I didn't
really see anything too much from them about the supply chain, and that's what it seems like every hardware company, all the chip manufacturers are blaming supply chains, and I just sort of assumed that would extrapolate to hardware as well. But that doesn't appear to have been the case. So
this company just makes a hell of a lot of money.
This is kind of confusing.
They always have. It's always traded with this like low multiple value stock, and it just doesn't perform. I've owned it a couple of times, and it's been a value trap. I mean, obviously 2021, I guess, had a pretty good run. But this thing trades like, what's the forward P on this thing?
I'll tell you.
It's like 7.
It's always, but it's
why
always,
is it so cheap? I guess it's because it's computers. Nobody cares.
Forward PE on Dell is 6.5.
Yeah, and it's always just traded dirt cheap. It's
all,
like Gilead.
The all time high for the forward PE, or maybe not, at least going back the last few years, is 9.
I know.
9.2.
Why don't they just up the dividend and turn this into the value investor's dream? Because they could double the dividend. They could literally double the dividend and they'd have lots of coverage. The stock is just so cheap. It's always been so cheap. I would buy pullbacks on Dell. I'm not chasing it up 10%. I've actually, it's kind of slipped through the radar here in the last month because it's not something I think about. Maybe it's something investors don't think about. But I mean, the stock has always been just dirt cheap.
I was thinking about this stock, and because of the VMware getting taken over, I don't know if they have any interest in that anymore. So I was thinking, mm-hmm. and I asked you about that, Dennis, and you were supposed to research it, and I don't know if you did in your free time, but they could have benefited from that. But it's a nice pop. I mean, I only buy Dells. I mean, I've been using them for 100 years, so they last a long time.
Wow,
50.
impressive.
50. It got close to 50. That's a big move. You see some daily highs just under that. So it might get back up there. But I think the first time it got back up there, I think it'd be – you have to look at that as resistance.
And this Why didn't Warren pick Hewlett Packard over Dell?
Yeah, I don't know.
Next time, we should get Warren on the show. We can ask him that question. Get Warren next week. Line him up.
Next time I see him at the McDonald's drive-thru, I'll ask.
HPQ is trading up, obviously, off of Dell as well. So if you're wondering why HPQ is up, that is all Dell.
All right, it's 8:35. Let's bring on our guest for the day, Cameron Dawson, one of our favorites, Chief Investment Officer at New Edge Wealth. Here she is, Ms. Dawson. Good morning. How are we doing today?
When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. In the minutes I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/prep. Just go to Indeed.com/prep right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/prep. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Before we proceed, and you were kind enough once again to send us some slides, I do want to ask you, we had a brief discussion about Ulta Beauty. Dennis said, oh, this makes sense. It's kind of a reopening trade in a way. I'm not quite sure I'm on the same page there. I don't know if you can, maybe you can't talk specific companies, but like generally speaking, does that logic make sense to you why a company like Ulta Beauty would just blow it away last quarter?
I'm pretty certain that I was $1 of the entire $2 earnings beat. If you look at the cardboard boxes in my house, it's you're out and about more, you're seeing people, and goodness, they have great deals that just hook you in. They do these 50% off deals, and yeah, I think I'm most of it.
Cameron, I want to hop in here real quick. I want to congratulate you on your new job, CIO. Tell us about that. Tell us a little bit about what your company, your new company, and what you're doing over there.
Sure. I'm so excited. So I just joined New Edge Wealth to be their chief investment officer. And we are a high net worth, ultra high net worth private wealth manager, growing really rapidly. And it's just a fantastic team with great resources. So I'm thrilled and honored to be able to step into this seat.
Let's talk about the market here, Cameron. I made the question of today's show, how do we know that the stock market has bottomed? I think I got, that's like the vibe I got from the slides that you sent us over. So I'm going to bring a few of them up here. I don't know where you want to start, but can you help us answer that question?
Sure. We've been talking about this really for the last couple of months of looking for those signs of capitulation. And you know, I think that capitulation has become such a buzzword, but what we're really looking for is signs that things have gotten so bad that they're good. Whether it's from a positioning flush, we can look at signs that we really haven't seen that big rush for the exits, people just selling indiscriminately, reaching for downside protection in a really aggressive way. those kinds of readings are elevated, but they're certainly not at extremes yet. But then we have to look at what's being priced into the market. Mm-hmm. And I think that there was a narrative that emerged that after a 20% or near 20% downdraft in the S&P, that certainly the market was pricing in a recession. And here, you know, GDP growth estimates are certainly not supportive that we're in a recession today. Of course, we had that negative revision down yesterday about GDP from the first quarter. But if you look, Atlanta Fed GDP now has been hovering right around 2% for the second quarter. So if we're using the traditional measure of recession, it doesn't look like we'll have two quarters in a row of negative GDP growth. So certainly estimates are coming down, but we're not pricing in some super dire scenario. And I think that's the same with the charts. And goodness, I should have sent you a PDF instead of a PowerPoint. I apologize for the lack of formatting. But you know, one of the things that we're seeing is EPS estimates are starting to come down. And I think that if we break that apart, we still see EPS estimates at 10.5% for 2022. They're at 9% for 23 and 9% for 24. That's not recessionary. If we were recessionary, you'd see those things get slashed in a quite meaningful way. Now, I think we can acknowledge that a lot of the upside in EPS estimates that have happened this year have all been from energy stocks. The last 6 months, energy estimates for EPS growth for 22 have gone from 20% up to 120%. And the inverse has happened with consumer discretionary. It's gone from 45% to just above 20%. So obviously, big winners and losers here as we're in this inflationary environment. But I think that if we really were to be in a recession or looking like we were going into it, certainly we wouldn't have 20% plus growth within our consumer discretionary stocks. Those would be much lower. So I don't think we've necessarily priced in a worst case scenario, but that doesn't rule out a near-term bounce from here. And I think that's a little bit of a separate discussion about, what bull traps or bear market rallies can look like and how we should use them to our benefit.
Cameron, you like to see, insider buys. That shows that, that the people that lead the company are showing confidence in the company. Mm-hmm. Insider sales really don't mean, they're done for a lot of different reasons. It's kind of step up a little bit here. Does that give you a little bit more confidence that the people that are behind the companies and running the companies are doing some buying on their own and also instituting a lot of big buybacks?
I think that's one of the most bullish things that we've seen, the fact that insiders are starting to step in and buy their stock because they're judging it as cheap. If you look at the bottom in 2020, bottom in 2018, these were all times when insiders really stepped in and bought. Now, if we were to be going into a weaker economic scenario and those earnings estimates are too high, then we might not be in a scenario where things are as cheap. But I think that is a very bullish thing in the near term that's happening. And I think on buybacks, we still have, the last time I ran the numbers, about $2.5 trillion of cash on balance sheets in the S&P 500. Of course, not all of that can go to buybacks, but a significant portion can. And we are seeing buybacks start to tick up now that we're outside of the quiet periods. So that can be supportive for the market. But then, of course, we would reengage, in maybe some more weakness when we get into the third quarter. We start reporting in July when we go back into those quiet periods. So those two things, I think, are supportive for the market near term, but don't necessarily mean that we're out of the woods.
Cameron, I want to bring up this slide. I was feeling pretty, concerned about this the other day. Every bearish thing that every time I get negative, it's because of the consumer that I feel that way, right? Where I just question how much more inflation can the average person really take when their wages aren't keeping up with it. And so this slide kind of quantifies that a little bit. Can you help me feel a little better about it? Because I just can't believe that people can take another couple quarters of this,
I don't know if I can make you feel better, but maybe I can give you confirmation bias here because it is pretty wild. We've been having negative real wage growth since April of 2021. And that actually coincides with the plunge in consumer confidence. And so we go all the way back a year. And for 1 year, wages have been growing at a slower pace than prices. For an entire year, we've been losing purchasing power. Now, initially, that wasn't a problem for consumers because back in April, we still had supplemental unemployment and we had childcare tax credit as well that was helping to boost spending. And there still was an overhang from elevated savings balances built up during the pandemic. But now you fast forward a year, we don't have childcare tax credit. We're done with supplemental unemployment. And a lot of those savings balances have been spent down. Now there's different ways to cut that data, but the one that we look at is Mizuho, Steve Ricciuto. He estimates that 2/3 of the excess savings balance is held by just the top 10% of households. And so what that means is that the majority of consumers don't have excess savings. So that's why they're turning to credit. They're turning to credit to bridge the gap between what they want and what they can afford. And you saw a huge surge, a record surge in credit last month, or it was in March, actually. That's the most recent data. Came in double what expectations were. And so clearly we have this shift where people are starting to turn to credit in order to support spending, but that has a limited runway to it. There's only so much credit that they can build before we start seeing deterioration in consumer balance sheets. Good news is we had really reduced credit during the pandemic, so we're not at levels that are extreme yet, but I would say that would expect to start seeing more softness, mostly in interest rate sensitive parts of retail sales like autos and housing, should start to see more softness because prices there are just through the roof.
And you can look at the data we got this morning. We got personal spending up 0.9% in April, which just means people are spending more money because they have to, because things cost more.
Yeah, that's a nominal number, right? That's not a real number. So we're in a scenario where people are spending more but getting less.
Yep. Okay.
What stops? Like, I'm just the root of the whole problem here has been inflation. Do the interest rates? Does it eventually just fix itself? Because interest rates are obviously inflation's going up so much, and interest rates going up that people just can't afford to buy stuff, so they stop buying, and then that eventually brings prices down. Or do we run the risk of stagflation here, Cameron?
So, I think the first step is acknowledging that higher interest rates will start to slow demand in the goods part of the economy. And goods have been a major driver of the big upside surge in inflation. Goods inflation was non-existent for the majority of the last 30 years because of globalization. Then you have this big shift to demand in goods, and that leads prices up because you didn't have a concomitant increase in supply, right? So that's why we had this huge increase in goods inflation. Higher interest rates should start to slow demand, as well as the waning wealth effect, right? Wealth effect was a really big driver of goods demand over the past couple of years. People felt flush, and so they spent. That should help. Now, that doesn't solve the broad inflation problem, because if we look at inflation overall, it has two big issues. It's broad and it's sticky. So broad means that the majority of the components of inflation are now elevated. 80% of the components of the CPI are now above 4%. So if one or two things start to roll over, like used car prices, it'll bring the headline number down, but there's still an acute inflation problem. The Fed looks at something called the trimmed mean CPI, and that's still at a 30 or 40 year high. It's still very elevated. So that's the one problem. The second problem is that sticky components are now elevated as well. Those are the ones that don't roll over as much. So we could be in a scenario where, yes, inflation comes down from very elevated at 8%, but it would take a much greater slowing in the economy, a much greater slamming on the brakes to get down to the Fed's target of 2%. So I think the thing we'll be talking about over the next couple of months as we go into Jackson Hole is, does the Fed move away from its 2% target? does it call victory at four or four or five? And what does that mean for pricing of long bond yields? What does that mean for, you know, for kind of all market pricing? Because if you look at long-term inflation expectations, they're not at 4%. They're still at 2 and change. And so I think it's a really important question as we move into the summer months and see what the Fed's reaction function really is.
What about this data that you pulled? And I know we're jumping all over the place from the stock market to the economy, but I want to go back to the stock market here for a second, because you have this chart that shows stock allocations remain near the high of the current cycle. I don't even know how to interpret that because it depends on my mood, because you could say, oh, that means there's so much more potential selling demand that's out there. Or it could mean, hey, people are still bullish. That's okay. They still own stocks. So how should I interpret that?
Yeah, you know, it'd be nice to think that human nature changes and that we've all become smarter. You know, kind of like the Lake Wobegon principle of every child being above average, that we're all above average investors and that we're all able to ride out volatility in a way that doesn't detract from our long-term wealth potential. But we know that when people really start feeling pain, they sell because it's human nature. They get scared. And so if we look in aggregate, we can see that even during the sharp market correction in 2020, equity allocations dropped to about 55%. They went even lower during 2000s and 2008 during those bear markets. But to be at all-time highs, it really is peculiar, because people are telling you they feel terrible about the outlook for stocks because of the bull bear survey, but they're not actually selling. Now, there are signs that people are starting to reduce exposure. And that's because when we look at margin debt, you can see that finally starting to come in. I mean, this was the thing at the beginning of the year, while we were not willing to call a bottom in the market in February, because we weren't seeing really anybody budge on margin loans. And the fact that retail accounts, which owned a lot of names that, you know, back in February were already down 40-50%, and yet margin balances hadn't declined. This meant people that were still buying dips, they were adding to their risk exposure. They weren't rushing for the exits. But now people are clearly getting stopped out of positions. Margin debt is starting to come in. And it's now about at levels we saw during other minor corrections. It got much lower back in the 2000s and 2008 and rolling bear markets or secular bears. But I think that this is at least a sign that you see some of the air coming out of the retail part of the market. We'll see what happens after these rallies that we've seen in retail popular names to see if they start to re-engage again. But, you know, the reality is we just want to see more positioning flush to really get confidence that this is a major sustainable low. Doesn't mean we can bounce in the near term, right? It's kind of two separate questions.
We're on the line with Cameron Dawson. She's the CIO at New Edge Wealth. Cameron, I just want to just talk to you about the employment situation. You know, one thing, you know, while the markets are crashing, I mean, just being around and, you know, the local environment and stuff, you still see a lot of, you know, help wanted. Employment still seems to be strong. So I look at it as, well, yeah, they're raising rates, chance of recession, you know, coming on down the road. But I mean, how can you have a recession when you have like a pretty strong, you know, demand for employment? It doesn't look like the Fed is, has killed off the employment situation yet as far as, new hires and things like that. You think that's the shoes are yet to drop, some layoffs coming? Or do you just think that, you know, the way our economy is diversified coming out of COVID, that things are going to be okay?
Well, I think you hit on such an important point, which is that for all the people thinking that the Fed is going to pivot in the near term to being supportive, my view is that things have to get worse before they get better. And so things have to get worse with the data before they get better with a Fed being accommodative or a Fed pivot. We're still so early in this process that, yes, if we look at initial jobless claims, they have ticked up. And we've had big, high-profile reports about companies freezing hiring, companies starting to actually do some layoffs. but it's small compared to the degree of tightness in this labor market. We actually haven't seen job openings roll over yet. Now, that's a little bit of a lagging number, and a good leading indicator of that is looking at something called the NFIB Jobs Hard to Fill Index, and that has started to roll, but it's still at near record tightness. So yes, it's starting to get worse. We're starting to see some easing in the labor market, but you're easing from such a historically tight level that if the Fed were to pivot here, they would just be throwing lighter fluid on this fire of a labor shortage. So we think that they need to certainly see a lot more weakness in labor markets to really justify stepping in to be supportive of the economy. There's still so much tightness. So, unfortunately, this is just beginning.
And it's so concentrated, right? It gets headlines when Netflix and Coinbase and Uber all announce, hiring slowdowns or freezes, but that's all like one segment of the economy, and that's it for now. So, I guess we'll see if it spreads. Cameron Dawson is the CIO at New Edge Wealth. Cameron, it is always a pleasure to have you on our show. Thank you so much. Have a great
week. Have a good Memorial Day weekend.
Same to you guys. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Kane.
I'm going to go out of order for a second here on the topics. I do want to, we will get to ticker time in a second, but let's skip that and go to the big news item because we're running out of time here in the hour, and I wanted to get to this today. So let me make sure we're on that. Can we skip ticker time, Mitch? And we'll come back to it, I swear, just in like a minute. But big news item is I'm just going to come out and say it. I don't know how else to say it. I, Spencer, am leaving Benzinga, unfortunately. My last day at this great place is going to be next Friday, June 3rd. And that's the big news. I told the guys
horrible news
a couple weeks ago. Yes, I'm sorry. I am moving back to the great state of New Jersey, where I am from. I've been out in Michigan for 7 years now. I moved out here in 2015, and I was doing this show. I've been doing this show since 2015 with Joel and Dennis. But it is time for me to move back home. Before I get married and lay down roots there and start a family closer to my family. So the show will go on. Benzinga will go on. Everything will go on. It will go
well,
on.
Well, we that haven't heard from pleased. Jason yet about the show.
All right. Well,
we kind of got to have like, I don't know if it's going to be the same without Spencer here.
The chat is not pleased. I'll tell you that much. The chat is booing you on this. They're giving you well wishes, but they're not pleased.
Luke Jacoby says, just tuning in. Anything interesting today? very funny, Luke. So I am very sad. I'm very sad to leave you guys. I haven't done it recently, but like a year or two ago, I did go back and listen to like my very first time on this show, and wasn't great. It wasn't great, but you guys stuck with me. I think on day one or day two, I confused Coke with a Coca-Cola bottling company.
KOF. Everybody does that.
COKE. It's a confusing. Anyway.
Well, it's KOF, it's COKE, and KO. Which one is
right? It's very confusing. Anyway, you guys stuck with me, and I love you guys. I love everyone in the chat, but Joel and Dennis, I love you guys. Doing this show was... it remains the best part of my day every day at work. It is my favorite part of the day, just hanging out with you guys. And to everyone in the chat that's asking, no, I don't have a new job. I don't know what the future holds. I'm jumping off a cliff to enjoy life's rich pageant. We'll be taking the summer off and moving at the end of July. But I will miss you guys very, very, very much.
We want to wish you well, Spencer. I mean, we're going to miss you big time here, obviously. And, we wish you well in New Jersey, and hope everything goes well. I don't know what to say. I'm sad to lose you too.
I know sorry, Joel, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say it's been an evolution. I remember, when you first started, you didn't, You didn't know. Well, you were over there on the desk, the answering the phones with customer service, and Brianna left us, and you didn't know. Actually, right before I was going to Israel too,
The timing was so bad. The timing was so bad,
and you didn't know a stock from a bond.
Nope.
You know, for a T bill from a T note.
Nope.
No, you really helped over the years, and
for sure.
Yeah,
it's gonna be tough. We had a lot of laughs, and the laughs will continue, I'm sure. But that's the news. No, I'm not starting my own YouTube channel. To people, no, that's not gonna happen. I literally just want to take a couple of months off, enjoy my last bastion of freedom, and before I, you know, have real responsibilities again. And
just one other thing too, Spencer. Yeah. I mean, when you look back on things, I mean, you participated in the show probably during the most turbulent economic time in, you know, a century. And yeah. I think that not only, you know, you and, you know, Dennis, I really think you should really take it to heart that, you know, a lot of people, that was an extremely tough time. We started the At the Close show. There were so many things going on. And I think that a lot of people benefited from the way that you were learning about the markets, because they were in a similar position. Yep. And, you know, I really think that, you know, you can take that to heart, that you really, really helped a lot of people navigate an extremely difficult and treacherous investing environment.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. That was my first crisis, right? COVID was my first crisis. And so I feel like I was going through with the rest of you guys, not, you know, panicking every other day. But learned more than I ever could have imagined learning. Like Joel said, I didn't know a stock from a bond when I started here. And a lot's happened in 7 years, but I think this is as good a time as any to move on. And that's what's going to happen. But I would definitely miss waking up with you guys every single day. Well, you know, not with you guys, but with going to work and doing the show with you guys every day. It's been an absolute blast to just learn from you, the two of you, and the chat and all our guests. But to see you guys up close, the one regret I have, I will say, is right before Dennis moved to like Antarctica, I never got to go over to his house and like actually like watch him for a morning. I would have liked to do that, but
you can still do that. You're still invited.
Oh, you're like 8 hours away. I'm not going to do that.
Well, they're called airplanes.
Do you have?
I'm an hour and 20 from Toronto.
Do they have airports in Canada?
Have airports.
Yeah, we only have dog sleds in Canada. You got to go by dog sled.
Yeah.
I want to drop in right quick. Yeah. And just say, Spencer, you know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you, really. At the end of the day, that's how I got to Benzinga, was watching you guys, you three, do your thing. And I appreciated the vibe that the show gave, right? This is the reason why I'm at Benzinga. It's because the energy, the love, the passion for the markets. So thank you for everything you've done for us.
Thank you, Mitch. I really do. I never like thought of myself. I still don't think of myself as like a personality. I don't think of myself as like an influencer. I'm not any of those things. I'm just a regular person that is learning along with all y'all every other day, and happens to have this platform.
I'd call you a pioneer of Benzinga.
Thank you. Thank you, Mitch. I do appreciate that. And thank you to everyone on the chat. I'm trying my best. I'll go through these comments later, but the comments are extremely nice, which is unlike every other day.
So, all right. I'll let you guys take it from here.
All right, Joel's gonna go over to Premarket Prep Plus. I actually have to hop as well because I got to prepare for our next show, All Access. So that was the big announcement. I'm sorry it took longer than I thought we would have time to go back to tickers, but you can do some ticker time with Money Mitch here.
We're all depressed now.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
Hard.
We still have a whole week. Okay. Well, Monday's an off day, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week, I'll still be here. So don't run me out just yet. It's gonna be an interesting week, and I'm nervous. I'm excited. Look, I guess I'll wrap with this. In 2015, I only moved out to Michigan in the first place because I was I was 24 years old and I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life and I had no responsibilities and I got this job offered at this company with a weird name that I couldn't even pronounce. And I thought, Michigan, why the heck would I move to Michigan? Well, why wouldn't I move to Michigan? Like, if I'm going to do it, if I'm going to go on an adventure, I'm going to do it right now. And I did. Yeah. And I went on the adventure and it worked out for me. And now it's think it's time for life's next adventure. So I'll be moving back. And then we'll go from there. So
it's just a starting of a new chapter for you, Spencer.
Exactly. I appreciate
a new chapter for us too.
Yes. A new chapters all around. Now my phone. People are texting me now. That's weird.
You see, they're loving you, man.
Who has my number? No. So I really did. I'm not gonna cry. Maybe I'll cry my last day, but I'm not gonna cry today.
I heard in the chat, it's not that I'm crying. It's that I'm cutting onions. That's right.
So with all this being said, I am gonna hop off of this stream, and I'll see you guys on our next show, which starts at 9:15. In the interim, you can use some ticker time with Money Mitch if anyone has any tickers. I know there's a few we didn't get to cover today. But Dennis, I'll see you on Tuesday. Okay, so same time.
Oh yeah, same time. Monday off. I didn't even realize 3-day weekend.
Don't forget, we're off on Monday.
Oh my gosh, I would have been trading. Thank you for letting me know that. I'd have been like, what the heck, man? My stocks aren't moving.
That's why I my real job here is just to remind Dennis of holidays.
No, I forget everything. I'm still gonna have to do that. I'm gonna still have to send me reminders.
All right. Dennis, I'll see you on Tuesday. Mitch, the floor is yours, sir, and then I will see you when you step in to hang out with me for a few minutes on All Access in an hour and a half. But everyone in the chat, I love you, okay? It's not goodbye. It's see you later. Don't know what else to say, but we have four more days together.
Four more days, guys. So be there next week.
Hey,
do not miss any show.
Now you have an incentive to watch every show next week because they will be my last.
Hell yeah, we're going to blow up that chat for Spencer. Yeah. Let's go ahead. Let's get into the market, guys. I'll let Spencer get on out of here. You guys will see him in a little bit, so don't worry. Spencer's still here. Let's take a look at the markets. If you guys got stocks to take a look at, throw it up in the chat. I'll go ahead and take a look at it first. I'm just going to give you what I would be looking at today, right? And so what I'm looking at right now is commodities and basic materials. I've been seeing oil rip right back up. Basic materials came down, but has retraced a good amount now. And the real question is, are we getting back a rip in coal? You can see here how coal went sideways for a little while, and now it's pushing back towards the high. This is the industry kind of index that I have. And then you guys can take a look at stocks like BTU coming on back. AMR is still holding the gains. This has been one of the strongest coal players for a while. It was BTU, but of course, this one started taking back over. And it's a good one to keep on watch. You guys can watch some other ones like CEIX, HCC. Look for these to maybe come back if you're seeing coal make a move today. You guys know how I love trading X. So X going to give it to me. We'll take a look here. X going sideways for a long time here. We had about, 13 days, 9 bars that were sideways action. And we just broke above that resistance. So that resistance is near around 25, 29. I'd be looking for pullbacks maybe closer towards 25 and maybe 25, 50. But this should continue to go and not come back into those price points. So I'll be watching to see if steel can make that next leg up. All right, catching up with the chat out there. What's going on? Let's see what stocks you guys want to take a look at. And I'll go ahead and I'll do so. All right, I did see a super sticker. What do you got? You think BIG can go down further? Matt Miller? Okay, let's take a look really quickly. BIG. BIG is one that I was actually calling towards the upside when we had that pop and target, and then it turned around, right? Could this continue, keep coming down? Yeah, it has room. I think it has room down there towards 2304s where it already touched. It went down towards 2264. So be careful with that $23 level. If that cracks, it could run right back down. One area that you want to see it get above and close is above this 2679, because it could come back into the shadow zone. If it comes back into the shadow zone, that's from here to here. That would not be a bad look there for BIG. I think a lot of this is going to depend on how the market trades today. All right, what's going on in the chat? I see XOM up another 10-20%. Yeah, XOM has been an absolute monster. I'm actually looking for a $100 move on XOM. We've been talking about that since around the 80s. It's almost up there. It's at 96. Showed a little bit of a topping action, though, yesterday. You can see here, this is called a Harmy at the top, and it could be kind of the evening star if you get a down candle today. So just be careful there as you're seeing this one show a little bit of topping, but if it can get back through that high 97.43, you should look for that lift. We'll see what happens there. All right, what other ones being mentioned in the chat? I see Costco. We already covered that. What other ones being mentioned here? AMD. Let's take a look at that. All right, AMD has been coming on back. But one thing that I noticed on AMD is that you have a solid bottom around 90 or 89.60s, 89.50s, as you want to put it. You don't need to be exact. But the big thing is around that level, AMD keeps finding support. So I'm going to keep an eye on this to see if it can get back through that high that we had from Tuesday, May 17th. And that high is 103.20. That's what we're going to look for, a little breakout above and then start coming back. But if it does come back towards the 90s, we'll see what happens if it can hold that on the next move down. All right, seeing a lot of stocks mentioned in the chat. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up in about 7 minutes here. Spencer should be ready in about 7 minutes here. We'll keep it going here. Let's run through some other stocks here. Etsy being mentioned in the chat. I haven't taken a look at that. I was surprised on the Ulta earnings. I have shopped at Ulta. I know the chat was talking about how men shop at Ulta also. And yeah, I went to go get a nice cologne at Ulta. So, as you guys can see, Ulta did good. But Etsy's a little bit different, right? It's a lot of times kind of these extra purchases, like let's say shirt designs or specific designs that you want, something custom. And I think that it's going to fight here. But the only problem is, can it actually come back? I don't know if it can actually come back towards 300. It's going to need a lot of kind of some earnings turnaround to get it back up there. I mean, that's a pretty significant move. Let's go back and see if we've retraced the full 100% from pre-pandemic, and we're right around those levels. So I say somewhere around 60 is where I'd be looking for this one to kind of find some bottoming action. It has made a nice little push up, but I don't know if it's going to be able to continue and ride it. All right, seeing some other stocks mentioned in the chat. Did you really bring up Nikola Buglog? Nikola? I got in trouble for this stock because someone wrote to me and they were like, man, you can't be so negative towards Nikola. I'll try my best. Let's take a look here. Definitely down there towards 680s. I think you can get a move towards 764, but there should be resistance up there towards $8. I think this might be a rip to sell in my eyes. All right, let's keep going. What else has been mentioned? We'll have to join Twitter to follow his career. Very talented. Hey, I love the comment there for Spencer, Sabrina. Appreciate it. Let's go look at Tesla. Tesla did make a nice bounce yesterday. Got back up there through the 695. 700 is a point to watch today. If you get a retrace, we want to see 700s hold, because if not, it could break through that 695 and you're right back down to 660s. So just keep an eye out on that one. All right. PCE, or did I miss that conversation? It wasn't really that important and it wasn't that much off the estimate. So I don't think it's going to really make an effect on the market. Let's take a look at F from Miss Whitehorse. This has bounced back. It has done a little bit of bounce back, but still in a bearish trend. I don't want people to get too crazy. A lot of these charts are showing charts like this, where you just slightly got above the trend line. And now today would be that day that, if you get it to the 1350s, you could say, okay, we're closing back above the bearish pattern and we're good. But I do think that F could come right back down here and get closed, let's say, around 1280s, and you're right back in the bearish trend. Good morning, Mighty Shoulders Trades. It's good to see you in the chat, man. Vilma Lopez, I haven't seen you in here. So, hey, congrats for joining. Please hit the like, guys. We got 482 likes. Can we get like 700 likes for Spencer? Come on, help him out. All right, let's keep going. LUV being mentioned. We did see some airlines catch a little bit of a bid yesterday. The real question is, is this the bottom for the airlines? The airlines went down significantly in the pandemic, but we're seeing them finally catch some sideways action. Sideways action is a good look. Of course, if we take out 40, you don't want to be a part of this. But a move back above 50s is going to look actually pretty bullish there for the airlines. We'll see if we can get back above that 46 today and then making a move towards 50. Basic materials, I talked about it. I think you could catch a bid there. I think it was just a correction, and now you're seeing that ramp right back up, but we'll have to take a look at it there. All right, WGO being mentioned, Winnebago. I haven't taken a look at this one. I mean, it's a summer stock a lot of the times. Likes to run in the summer because people go buying of Winnebagos in the summer. It's not a bad one to watch. It just filled the shadow. So look for a move back above 50 to actually hold. I think that's what you need to watch. Right now you're at around 40, 49. And you can see here how the 50 is right above it. You need to close up there to show you that strength to continue. All right, guys, it's 9:12. I got about like 2 minutes left here, and then I'm going to get you on out of here. All right, what's going on here? I just got to answer something in the chat here. Sorry about that, guys. All right, just keeping it going here. Let's take a look at Home Depot. Home Depot did get a little bit of a bounce. I did see like kind of a little bit of a kind of ramp back up here in Home Depot. So keep your eyes on Home Depot to see if it's going to be able to come right back on up there. I think it's one to keep on watch. A lot of times, Home Depot likes to run in the summer. You know, a lot of people buying probably some lawn care stuff. So we'll see what happens if there's a big kind of move in Home Depot. Lucid, Sam Z. All right, Lucid. Let's take a look there. So Lucid's back up there towards 1850s, trying to get back up there towards the 21. I think if you get a real down day today in the market, you could look for potentially some shorts in Lucid, but I will let you know I've been kind of leaning more to the bearish side on Lucid. Last one I will do is FL, Foot Locker. Foot Locker is one that we're looking to see if it fills the gap. There's a big gap right above it. It's trying to fill in there. It's gone up already. Let's see if it comes up in that range and then goes up there towards 38 today. Not a bad one to keep on watch. All right, guys, I will see you guys over on All Access. So join All Access, and then we'll see you guys over there. I'll be joining around 10:40. Probably already got a trade in or two. I'll let you guys know exactly what I trade. And of course, stick around, guys, for All Access. Maybe you might find a story to go ahead and invest in. Let's go ahead. Let's bring you over to All Access. Until then, guys, next time on Pre-Market Prep. And of course, you guys heard it from Spencer. Be here next week, guys. We got to wish Spencer a good farewell. I want you guys blowing up in the chat. I want you guys getting all your friends here to say a goodbye to Spencer. Let's push it. Let's see a nice next week. And I'll see you guys as I'm leaving the Colorado and moving on over to the Charlotte life. So, hey, if you're out there in Charlotte or North Carolina, holler at me. All right, guys, I'll get you guys over to All Access. Let's go. Let's keep it going right here on Pre-Market Prep.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.